Well, I wanted to thank Jerry and Joe for asking me to teach. It's sure a great privilege to teach God's Word. And if my voice sounds funny, it's because it is this week. I took funny voice pills. Philippians. No, just kidding. Philippians chapter 4. One person thought it was funny. Philippians chapter 4. What I wanted to look at in God's Word today is what we need. And I looked up the word need in one of those definition books. What are they called? Dictionaries. There we go. It means to be in want, a condition requiring supply or relief. So in Philippians 4, the person that laughed at my joke, Alyssa, would you be blessed to read that? Verse 19. Not because you laughed at my joke, though. Chapter 4, verse 19. Oh, yeah, stand up, please. Sorry.
Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Isn't that cool that God supplies our need? He supplies our needs. So anytime we need something, guess who will supply it if we really trust and believe? God. Isn't that cool? And three things that I wanted to share, especially around now because it's Christmas time, is number one, right doctrine. Number two, love. And number three, peace. And Joe covered number two and three so wonderfully this morning, or earlier rather. But we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 first. So this is right doctrine, what we need. These are just three things that we need, that people need, not just us here, but people need, that'll help us. And what does God say in Philippians 4:19? That he'll supply your need, right? One thing is right doctrine. The right, accurate word of God, the right doctrine. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. It's profitable for what? Doctrine, right believing, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's the purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. And what's cool is thoroughly furnished here means to be fit out, equipped fully, like a ship set to sail the seas, you know, that they're... Because it's not like you can gas up in the middle of the Atlantic, right? But it's like a ship going on a voyage, you know, just fit. Perfect, what does it say here? Reading my own writing here. Complete, you know, equipped fully. That's what it means. That's the purpose of why it's profitable for us to have this word of God, which came from God. That's doctrine, reproof, and correction. That's what it's profitable for. For instruction in righteousness. Go to 2 Timothy 2, just a page or two back. And here's a great, great verse that tells us about God's Word, how, you know, we should handle it. And here it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto men, unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this rightly dividing is a great word. It's actually two words, but it means the right cutting. It also, there's no, with God's word, we don't interpret it. Like it says in 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. You know, you don't interpret it. It's not open to private interpretation. There's a right cutting of the word of God. You know, so we have to be, you know, accurate in our understanding of the word. And, you know, God supplies our need, right? When we need to understand God's word, who do you think is best to help us? God. And even then, if we still don't understand it, because many times that does happen. It does, where you're reading something, you just want to understand how it fits. You go to people who can trust you with the word of God, right? To help you with that need. God will still work because God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure, right? He'll still help. He'll provide that need for you to understand that word of God. It's his word. He wants us to understand it, right? Yeah. That's a great need to have met, right? Hebrews chapter 4. So it's the right cutting. And, you know, sometimes you know the difference if you hear something that's not, it's just, well, that just doesn't line up. You know, a lot of times. And you know what? If you're not sure, you guess where you can go and check? To the Word. If you're not sure, does it say that God doesn't love me? No. You know, does it say I'm supposed to, you know, accept some people but not others in the body of Christ? No. Or to love one another, right? So you know. Hebrews chapter 4. That's why it's good to ask questions, especially ask people that may know a little more of the Word than you do. You know, and it's not a knowledge trip. It's just so you can understand God's Word, which is a big need. If we understand God's Word and apply it right in our life, guess what? We see results, right? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4. Chris, would you like to stand up and read verse 12? Hebrews chapter 4.
Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah, for the Word of God is quick. That word quick is live. It's quick. Life. God's Word is life. That's how we should see it. You know, that's why when we apply it, we see results. That's why when we speak it, you see results. You see how it blesses people. And sometimes they don't want to hear it, and you see that result too. But it is life. And people who are meek to God's Word will see results. Just like us. You know, when I say people, it includes us. You know, it's powerful, it's effectual, it's powerful. And what's neat here, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. That word discerner is critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His Word is living and powerful, and it's sharp, and that's so true. You know, many times we need specific answers, don't we? Well, we go to God. You know, we go to God. That's who we go to get our answers that we need. God supplies your need. He'll supply that. You know. And His Word is mightier than any sword. You know, and any, well, not, what I mean by that is like anything physical. You know, God will take care of whatever it is that you need. His Word is mighty and it's powerful. You could go to Psalm 107. You know, the words of the true God will bring joy, peace, understanding, love, and positive action. That's what God's Word will always do. Psalm 107. And you know, since we are at holiday time and stuff, one great thing that you could give to people is if it has God's Word written in it, whether it's, you know, and a lot of you do this already. I mean, you know, whether it's a verse in the frame or whether it's something that has the Word, you know, that'll bless people throughout the year, not just for a couple weeks when you get tired of some of the gifts. Or, you know what I mean? It'll be right in front of you at your desk at work or in school in your locker or at home, you know, next to your bed. You look up, oh, wow, God supplies my need. That's a good reminder. The Word of God. Now, that helps us. That helps us. Great gift idea. But 107 of Psalm, verse 20, it says, oh, I was looking at 106. That's why I was like, what? Okay, here we go. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God's Word delivers, it heals. You know, it heals and delivers. It helps us. It helps people. This is a great time to speak God's Word, too. You know how many people, you know, have needs now or are sad and think about even suicide? I mean, suicide is prevalent around this time of year. You know, and it's such a great ministering thing for us to walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what? God loves you. Isn't that cool? You know, it's deep. Go to Romans chapter 10. How about another gift or another thing if you want to, you know, give to somebody? help them understand the word. How about that? That's another thing you can do to really help people. Help them understand the word and build believing. And to really understand what God's word says. Maybe they don't understand. You know, I don't think all of us know the word inside out perfectly, do we? I mean, I don't. I'll admit it. You know, that's a great thing you could do for somebody. Help them understand the word and build believing. In chapter 10 of Romans, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, as the more you hear the word and you believe it, the more it just builds, you know. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's so awesome how that happens, you know, as we go to God. And like I was saying a little earlier, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. You know, sometimes we need specific answers, don't we? We need specific guidance, don't we? Well, go to the Word. Go to God. Ask Him to help you, to guide you, to understand something that you need to understand. And here's a great record of in 1 Kings here in chapter 3, Solomon, who was a great man. His father was David, another great man. And here we'll see what he asked for. You know, chapter 3, verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people. Thou cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Whose people? God's people. What a great request. That he just wanted an understanding heart, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He knew he wasn't able to do that, but God was, wasn't he? It was God's people. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And then it goes on. But here's something that's interesting. Following this, he has a situation on his hands. And here it says, in verse 16, we'll pick it up. It says, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me. And while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom, and when I arose in the morning to give my child some chuck meat, the funny voice pills, like I was saying. Anyway, my child suck. Behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no. But the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. And you see what's going on here. One of the sons died, and guess what? The woman was saying that she switched the dead one for the living son. Yeah, you see what's happened. And here they are before the king. You know, here's the situation, the first recorded situation after he asked God for an understanding heart over his people. And here's the situation that's recorded. Verse 23, then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other say, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. So Solomon needed some guidance, didn't he? Some specific guidance from God. And the king said, bring me a sword. And look what he does. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Pretty logical, isn't it? It would present other problems, but they'd have half and half. Something just fell. Oh, can I just move this, Brian? Thank you. Can you still hear me? Yeah, it just fell. That's why I was asking. Anyway, verse 26. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, and her bowels yearned upon her son and said, yeah, she didn't want to see her son die. O my Lord, give her the child, and in no wise slay it. At least the son would live. See what she was doing? Said, give it to her. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Ha, ha. We see whose child it is, don't we? Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Specific guidance, an understanding heart. And you know, many times in our life, go to Ephesians chapter 1. We need that specific guidance. We need understanding. And really, anytime you get revelation, knowledge from God, wisdom, and what to do in situations, it will line up with the Word of God. It won't go contrary to the Word of God, will it? No. But Ephesians chapter 1, and this is another great recorded prayer in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. You know, we need this word of God so we can live and apply this word properly. It's not about some knowledge trip about me knowing more than you or vice versa. That won't even happen, but I'm just saying. You know, it's not about the knowledge at all, because in Corinthians it says that knowledge puffeth up, right? Yeah, it does. It's so we could understand our Father better so we can live this word, you know? Verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, and this is Paul speaking by revelation, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that awesome? What a great prayer. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's great, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. Can you guys back there hear me all right? Okay. Proverbs 1, verse 7, says, the fear or respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know? Respect God. That's the first step in all of this, in understanding Him and, you know, gaining knowledge of God's Word. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Go to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, verse 10, says, the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. There you go. You know, respect God first. That's the first step in getting knowledge and wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now the second thing I want to share, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The second thing I wanted to share is love. And Joe covered this earlier. You know, and it is so great that as we walk by the Spirit and, you know, operate the manifestations, the fruit that will result is love, joy, peace, like he shared. So I want to cover love, and we'll go to a few other verses. You know, every time I think of love is all we need, I think of the Beatles, too. But you know what? We do need love. We do need love. You know, and God knows that, doesn't he? In manifestations, he often mentions it, doesn't he? How he loves us. He just wants us to walk. You know, if we know we're loved, we'll do the word. You know, it'll be easier for us to do the word if we really believe God loves us. If we have that respect for his word, we'll do it because we'll just be confident that he loves us, right? Just like, I know many of you played sports, right? When you know you're believed in, you excel at what you do. I know it happened to me in soccer. I know it happened in a couple of you I've spoken to about it, you know? Because when you know you're believed in, like God loves us, when you know and really are confident that God really loves you, it helps. It energizes your believing, in fact. 1 Corinthians. And I wanted to read from the Working Translation, the Journey Through the Acts and the Epistles. Here, the Authorized King James Version with notes and a Working Translation, which you can buy over there. And this is not to plug this, but this is so great. I mean, it's been so healing to read the Working Translation here. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read the actual Working Translation. If you could just follow from your Bible, please. So 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of divine messengers, all right, let me reread that. If I speak in tongues of men and of messengers but do not have love, then I have become a sounding brass, gong, or clanging cymbal. If I have prophecy and I know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if, see, there it is, knowledge. And if I have all the believing so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, then I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed others, and if I give my body to be burned, but do not have love, then it profits me nothing. You know, if you're going to give gifts, you know, this season, holiday, great season, you know, put love into it. Or else if it's just grudgingly, or if you feel like you have to do it because, and believe me, I come from a family that I've seen this. I've seen this. It's like, well, last Christmas they got you this. You have to double it, or you have to top this. Weddings, it's insane. My mother, she's always, it's a whole situation. It's not even the word of God, so I'm not going to go there. But don't do it grudgingly, you know. Do it with love. Like those candles, I'm sure, you know, with the love of God, it's going to give off. See, they're just made with the love of God. Verse 4, and this is pretty neat. I'm going to read this. The right kind of love is long-suffering. It is kind. The right kind of love is not envious. The right kind of love is not a braggart. It is not puffed up with pride. Many times it's just quiet. You do, like Joe mentioned earlier, you know, you just decide to love. You don't have to show off that you love somebody or did something real loving with the love of God. You just do it. And many times, no one sees it. But you know who does see it? God. God sees it. And really, that's what matters anyway, right? It does not behave itself dishonorably, verse 5. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not easily upset. It does not consider evil. It does not rejoice in injustice, but it rejoices in the truth. It covers all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And this is neat. The right kind of love never fails. The love of God in the renewed mind, in manifestation, never fails. You know, that's what we need, and that's what people need. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. And that word there is hypocrisy. You know? Let love, the love of God, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know, cleave is where you weld yourself to that which is good. Isn't that neat? Galatians 5. Galatians 5. All we need is love. Bum, 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 bum. But it's true. We need it. Every day. Galatians 5. Sorry if I offended you in my singing. Because I'm not that good of a singer. Chapter 5, verse 6. Says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Love energizes believing. Isn't that neat? So that's how big God's love is. That's why we need it. It energizes believing. It helps us. And in John 3:16, you don't have to go there, but God so loved the world that he gave. Gave what? His only begotten Son. You know? Isn't that awesome? He gave. And all love is giving. Genuine love is giving. All genuine love is giving. And you decide to do it, like Joe mentioned earlier. You just decide to do it. And it's not convenient many times, is it? But you know, we need it. Just like we want to be loved, guess what? Other people need to be loved too. You know? So sometimes we're on the giving end. We're on the helping end of loving somebody. You know? And it's not always going to be convenient. It's not. But that's okay. Because we'll benefit if we apply God's word, won't we? And there's no one you couldn't love. There's no one in here or people, you know, and people that are not here as well. There's no one that you couldn't love with the love of God, right? I mean, we have this word of God and we live in such a great day to live, really. That we live in the grace administration. We're not under the law. It's grace. You know, why not love? Why not go beyond the limits? You know, walk with him. Walk in love. Yeah. Colossians chapter 3. And many times we need to take a step back and stuff we do. And it happens to me even around now. But what's our motivation? You know, what I was saying about the Italians earlier, but it's not just Italian. It's the world, really. You know, the world teaches to do stuff because you feel like you have to or out of grudgingly and not being cheerful at giving, like God's word says. He'd rather us be cheerful givers, right? And people that just love because we decide to. Because his word says to do it. That's why. You know, so the world just teaches the complete opposite. And really, you know, many times we have to really take a step back and see, okay, what's our motivation? Well, a great motivation to do anything that we do from God's word is love. That's one of the great motivations. You know. Colossians chapter 3. And here's a great verse. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. And the third thing I want to look at is peace, what we need. You know, peace. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Galatians 5. We'll just read that, but Joe shared it. And, you know, I don't need to spend too much time there. But I just want to read verse 22. And 23, yeah. 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Pretty neat. You know, it's such a great time to live and to walk by the Spirit. We have Christ in us, the new nature, you know, the new creation. We have something inside of us that makes us complete. You know, walk by the Spirit. And if you do, that's what will result, the fruit, right? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Another thing God tells us to do, in the practical part of Ephesians here, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, in verse 2, and walk in love. Walk in love. You know, walking connotes action, doesn't it? It means that we actually will walk and move and do something and believe God. Walk in love. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, and it's such a great thing for us to do. Every time you have something that does come up, give it to God. Give it to God. And you know what results? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that neat? Where you're settled. You know, and there are times, like Joe mentioned earlier, you know, stuff does happen. We may get at, but it's not where you're living every day just anxious and fearful, but that you're giving it to God, and it's such a great habit to have. It's needful for us to claim the peace that we have. You know? Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And what's neat is that we can learn about all this stuff and apply it from God's Word. It's all in God's Word. Romans 5 says in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're at peace with God. And this word here is to set at one again. You know, absence of all strife, peace with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We're at peace with God. Why should we be anxious? There's nothing to be anxious about. We're at peace with the one who created the heavens and the earth, our Father, set at one, settled. We should just be settled in our hearts. And no, we're not going to go there, but Colossians 3:15, we let the peace of God rule in our heart. We decide to let it rule in our heart. Right? Hebrews chapter 4. And there's times we just need to be settled and peaceful and recognize what we have in Christ and to know that we're at peace with God. That's such a tremendous verse in Romans 5:1. That really changed my life. But here, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And that word labor is to study, one of the meanings. It's to study. So you study God's Word to enter into that rest. So many times, you know, we run, whatever. We have lives, we're busy. And when we just have to get settled and just study God's Word, it's such a place in our life that we just should be very thankful of how God's word will just settle you. If you need answers, specific answers, how settling that is and how much rest that brings, doesn't it? I mean, that's like when you know you can breathe again, it's like, wow, okay, good. That's what we need. We need to claim that peace that we have. Go to Psalm 37. A couple more verses here. Psalm 37. It's settling to know that God is faithful, isn't it? That we could go to Him and just ask whatever we need, and He'll supply that need, isn't it? Yeah. It's also settling to have the right word at the right time, isn't it? When it's like the most, you couldn't even plan it any better. And, you know, by all means, we couldn't, because we're, you know, God is just so awesome. That when God delivers, He just delivers, and it's, you know, we just stand in awe and just are thankful. Should be, at least. But Psalm 37, verse 4, says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in who? The Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. You know, where you're just settled, and you just rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Because you know what? He provides. Better than you could plan it out. We could plan, well, who was mentioning it? Michael, about, you know, we could plan our life away. But God knows our need. God will take care of us. He loves you. He loves all of us. He'll take care of us. Go to Psalm 19 to close here. Psalm 19. As we look to God and His Word, we will have the Word of God. We'll have the right answers, you know, the right doctrine, how to believe rightly. We'll have wisdom. We'll have understanding. We'll have knowledge when we need it. We'll see how He is love. You know, the more you look to God and you see how great He is, the more you just see His love, you know. And also that we have peace with Him. And you know, one of the great statements I've ever heard that I still remember to this day is as the Word, as you hold the Word will hold you. You know, and that's so true. God makes sure. I mean, as you go to God's Word and build a habit and to go to God and believe God, time after time we'll see it. And we have seen it. A lot of you have seen it. You know, have seen how God has come through when it looks like it's a dead end, and all of a sudden there's a little brick where He shows you, move that brick and the whole wall. There you go. Yeah. But Psalm 19, I just wanted to read this. Verse 1 through 11. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run in a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is there is great reward. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.